Fellow entrepreneur and podcast host Matt Sodnikar's company started as a hobby. Warmfront makes a variety of chest-warming apparel for skiers and cyclers to keep them just warm enough to enjoy the sport. And as a resident of Colorado, he knows the importance of this. Starting his career off as a software engineer, he realized he had a crazy idea that he wanted to make into a reality. And through his time building his company, he's done not only that, but built amazing relationships with people he otherwise wouldn't have met. Matt's got some awesome tips at the end for people just starting or already on the entrepreneurial path, and they're so good, I asked him to email them to me so I can print them off for myself and tape them up near my computer. If you're feeling the nip of weather setting in and you're getting chilly, find Matt at thewarmfront.com, email him at matt@thewarmfront.com, or find him on LinkedIn. We're talking about weather, pizza, bowling here, so let's hop into the conversation. For what, or get some skiing?
Fun, depending on your perspective. I went on a 36-mile gravel bike ride on Saturday in the cold and the wind, and then went up fat biking to Winter Park yesterday, which was awesome. Just a lot of fun. So,
man,
yeah. The beauty thing about Colorado is that most of the time it's sunny, yeah. And so even though it could be cold, and our winters are pretty mild, so I got a fat bike a couple years ago and just was like, one more day down on winter. That's how I look at it, right? Just get outside. We're one day closer to spring, so it's good.
Man, you move around a lot. The more I talk with you, the more I realize this is an active dude. He would, I would never be able to catch up with you, seriously. Cause I mean, I used to be an athlete all the way back in high school, and I used to run cross country, but now it's like, yeah, if I had a bicycle, I could ride the thing, but I don't think I can keep up with you. And I can't ride up and down mountains, I don't think. I'd be all like, just go. Just tell my wife I love her. Just get out of here.
Yeah. It takes a while, man. But see, I'm one of the rare cycling enthusiasts. I wouldn't call it racing what I did, but I was in races. But I can separate the distance and the effort from the company I'm keeping. So people always go, oh, I'll be too slow. Like, no, man, let's just go out and have a good time. If I ride, 3 miles with somebody, I enjoy their company, like, it's fine, because I can slide that scale to the social side and not worry about the distance or the effort and just enjoy the presence in the company.
Yeah. There's probably there's a speed on the bike that you can pick for just those kind of people. Guys like me, to be like, all right, I guess I'm going to be in first gear the entire way. It's going to take us 17 hours to go 3 miles. How are the kids? How are the family? Yeah. Man.
We'll just go to the brewery, man. We'll just ride 3 miles to the brewery and everybody's happy.
Man, I remember the last time we talked. I know I still want to get together with you sometime and do that Hawaiian pizza thing. That is,
yes,
that is the biggest takeaway. And I legit put that in my CRM. I'm like, I need to remember this. That is something. So note to self, interest, Hawaiian pizza. Well, tell us a little bit. So, talking about the business side, I know we talked about marketing last week, but tell us a little bit about your business. Okay. So what does your company do?
Sure. I manufacture and sell thermal chest warmers for cycling, skiing, outdoor enthusiasts. And then I've also started reselling companion products from other cool companies, like small entrepreneurs here in the US. So socks and gloves and saddlebags and things like that. So just
nice, man.
Kind of a very niche product in a niche market, but it's been an idea that's captivated me and kind of held on to me for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty cool, literally and figuratively. Just kind of going back to previous conversations we've had, just getting to know each other, that, when you decided to do this, it was kind of I guess necessity is the mother of invention, because you're in Colorado. I assume it's a little chilly there sometimes. Every once in a while. That's what I heard on the internet anyway.
Yeah.
So how did you end up deciding to start the company itself? Like what was the story there?
Well, your setup was perfect, because it was necessity. And I literally was just cold, and I was sick of being cold. And Colorado, probably through Halloween, will have summer during the day, and it's very, very nice. But then the second that the sun goes behind the mountains or sets, the temperature at the bottom just falls out. And so just got cold. And so I got sick of these October rides where I would be warm and then we'd reach the top of the hill, turn around and come home. And then I would just be sweaty and damp and just cold. And I just was sick of it. And so I was trying to solve the problem of suffering through it or carrying too much stuff that I didn't need for 2 hours up and 20 minutes down. And I just started hacking up thermal undershirts and fleece jackets. And my next door neighbor at the time was a seamstress. And I was like, hey, can we cut this? Can we sew this? Can we do this? And really just picking apart at that design from my former engineering background and just iterating and prototyping and just trying to get something that actually worked.
Yeah, man, it's just neat how companies progress and how they get started and the steps until they get to where they are now. And you can look back and see a clear heritage of this is what kicked it off. And it always starts with an idea like, man, there's something about my life or the environment or something that sucks. I'm going to fix it. And, and you go from there, man. I love it. I love it. Sorry. I heard every word you said, but there was a squirrel climbing up the carport out here and it was looking in the window because I'm out here in my truck and I'm like, can I help you? So I'm like, I've never been like, bro, you're creeping me out, man. Quit hovering. Sorry about that. If you saw me looking away and I'm like, I heard everything, but I'm like, he's gonna think I'm not paying attention. I'm engaged. Well, what are some of the biggest challenges you've overcome on the journey? I assume it's been, you know, not smooth sailing or smooth skiing, as it were. Like what kinds of hangups have you had? Get some worse
stories. Yeah, great question. At the start, because I had kind of come up with these ugly duckling prototypes and passed them around to people to get some feedback and some testing. And everybody, while they could separate the ugly colors and the form and the fit, the function was there. And on more than one occasion, people like, you should like sell these, you should start a business. And the challenge at that point was A, I didn't know how to do any of the business stuff, what that actually meant. And B, at that time in my life, I was at a pretty low point personally, so I had really no confidence in myself or anything that I could do, and slowly work through that. And sometimes that comes back every single day where I'm like, man, nobody cares about this product. It sucks. Like, it's just, this is a fool's errand. And then I'll get an email from somebody like this woman, Connie in Atlanta, who I think has just put all of her cycling team in a headlock. It's like, you're buying one of these because they're great. Yeah. She sends me a photo. And so there's always the mental challenge of moving forward. But some of the other challenges I've encountered were manufacturing here in the US and finding sublimation partners that could think outside their process. And I would tell them, look, I don't need everything you do. I need one particular part. And it's just asking for advice and asking for help. And I think that's how I've taken tiny steps and large steps and just saying, I've kind of got this idea. What is this even called? And then just, I call them, you know, the word brand ambassador or influencer is so overused, but I like to call them deputies. Like, I like to grant people some authority and investment and ownership and just say, like, I want you to be part of this family. It's just, you know, and I keep a thank you page on the website of people that have just offered ideas that they don't even probably remember telling me about this. But it's like, you have no idea how huge that one little suggestion was, because your introduction to Fritz led to the introduction to this person, led to that person. Like, it mattered, you know. And just, yeah, be curious and just be persistent. And that's really all it is.
The mental image I get of deputies, like, do you give them badges and stuff? Like,
we don't need actually thought about that.
We don't need no stinking badges, you know? Like, this town ain't big enough for two warm clothing manufacturers. Man.
I have thought about that, about actually doing some like plastic, you know, badges, and if I could include them in the order, if it, you know, if it was, if I could get a couple hundred of these for a couple hundred bucks, you know, and it was, yeah, it would be fun. Cause I didn't invent the iPod or SpaceX here. Like this company has to have my personality in front of it. And there's enough serious road cyclists out there that are just kind of snooty. And that's just not me or my friends or my group. It's just my personality has to shine through. So I think I'm going to look into getting some badges made, dude. That'd be a great idea.
Dude, you should totally do it. Cause our 4-year-old's got one. We went and did something at the firehouse like 2 years ago, and she has kept that crazy thing, and it's still shiny. And she just, every once in a while she wears it. She's like, I'm the sheriff. I'm the fire chief. I'm like, all right, you're the fire chief. You're the sheriff. Don't put me in jail. Daddy's got stuff to do. So
it's awesome.
It, man, being a dad and being an entrepreneur is just crazy. I mean, you know, it kind of rubs off on them, because then they come up with all kinds of crazy business ideas, and then they run them past me, and I'm like, I don't want to shoot it apart. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, yeah, keep coming up with some ideas, but this one, I mean, if you're going to charge $20 for a cup of coffee, that's a bit much, you know? So they're learning. They're learning.
And that's something else that's kept me going. My kids are 23 and 18 now, and just, I want them to understand that they could do something, that, because when I was younger and there wasn't the internet, you just see companies, right? Like Ford Motor Company, just to pick one, it's so big. And like, but people forget that, you know, in the 1900s, this guy had an idea and he designed a car and made it a company. And so that's one of the things that I've kept persisting at, because I've kept persisting, was just to show the kids and now these young adults that, hey, have an idea and just give it a shot. See what happens.
It's worth just giving it a shot, because even if you aren't successful, you still learn some stuff. So I kind of go with the idea of you either win or you learn. It's not, are you win or you lose? It's like, you're never going to lose. You know, that's a mindset thing. So I'm always after him. I'm like, don't ever feel like you can't run something past me. Cause sometimes what we think is just the goofiest ideas, it's like somebody will hear it and say, why the heck not? Let's do it. Come on. And if you, and if you share your weird ideas with an investor and they're just like, I'll sprinkle some money on that, hot dog, now you're in business. So
I get asked for advice all the time, and I tell people, okay, I'm happy to help, but you've got to understand that I've never met a bad idea. Like, if you're going to tell me about this, I'm going to get you excited. I'm going to lay out the path. Cause then I jump forward, you know, 1 year, 10 years, whatever. And it's like, I'm going to like put fuel in your rocket and I'm going to get you excited. So like, tell me about it, but like, I'm going to get you amped up and I'm going to hold you accountable. Like, there's no bad ideas. And you know, so it's just exciting for me to talk to people about their ideas too.
Man, I could just picture you on a show like Shark Tank, like when everybody else is just shooting people to crap and you're just like, no, no, guys, hear them out. Let's hear what they have to say. You know, this is really cool. And they'd be like, man, this guy buys everybody's stuff. He gets 10% in everything.
I probably would just because a trained optimist and a believer, and I tend to see the possibilities rather than the drawbacks.
Yep. That's a good mindset to have. It's one that's lacking. The more I learn about you, the more I think I need to hang around this guy more, because selfishly, I think you'll rub off on me. I'm kind of a pessimist. So hopefully I don't rub off on you, but you know, if you're all the way up in Colorado, I think you're fairly safe. There's only like a 100-mile area of effect around me, you know? So,
but no, we'd be a good balance, because I seek people out like that, because if that's your mindset, I would send stuff to you to get battle tested and just sort of like, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Because if you have somebody that thinks that things are always going to work and somebody that thinks that things are never going to work, then the blending of those two solidifies it. It's like the rebar and the concrete, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Yeah, your opinion I would seek out would be very valuable for sure.
We're going to be friends. I can tell.
We already are, man.
If we're already to the point where it's like, hey, I'd go bowling and I'd eat a pizza with this guy. That's like inner circle stuff, man. I have categories, you know, so
yes.
You're in there. Well, what have you learned about yourself on this journey?
Persistence, consistency, and creativity. And I started my professional life as a software engineer. It was not a good fit. Like I should have been doing business from the start, but mm-hmm. What I took away from that were systems and consistency, some of the design methodology, and being a naturally creative individual. What I've learned is that you can have the best idea and it can be so amazing and world changing, and everybody has those ideas. That's the start of it. And really what separates everybody else, and it's not necessarily the quality of the idea, it's just churning on it and grinding on it and just moving it forward. And then that's how things actually change the world, is that, you know, write it down and then go make it happen. And what I've also learned too is that I think motivation is a myth, and I get targeted with all these ads on Instagram and Facebook, and like, you know, just, you know, go seize the day and go blah. And it's like, you know what? You're not always going to be in a great mood. And right. Like you were saying before we started recording, it's going to be gray and you're going to want to be in bed. And I've taught myself to come down to the, you know, most granular level. And it's really just the doing it when you don't want to do it. I think that's the key to success, is that you're not always going to be excited, and it's not always going to be Thursday afternoon happy hour fun. There's just going to be days when it's just, it's like, man, I want to do anything else. And just that consistency when you don't want to do it. That's what I've learned, because I'm always full of great ideas and, oh, I want to do this ad. I want to do this design. I want to do this, do that. That's exciting and great. But I'm like, what should I be doing? It's just that lower level, just, you know, adulting maybe.
Yeah.
but learning that, you know, also that you can be inspired and you can have successes. And those are the rewards, and rewards, you know, should be, you know, special and infrequent and magic. And it's just, it doesn't have to be a slog. You don't have to be like envisioning yourself on a chain gang pounding a rock and just like, you're not a prisoner, but you just like, hey, I am just like a bricklayer, right? Just taking pride in every single brick and doing that, and just over time, and all of a sudden you've got a wall.
Yep. I remember a movie when I was a kid. It was this guy, and he was building a cathedral or a chapel, I guess, for these nuns in like Arizona or New Mexico or whatever. And it just follows a progression. And he just started laying bricks. And it, you know, throughout the entire show, he ended up finishing the thing off. I can't remember the name of the movie, but you know, he had them all singing along with him and stuff, and they were out there supporting him and all that. And I don't think he was getting paid for it. They somehow roped him into it, but you know, just kind of diligently keep him plunking down the bricks and stuff. And that's, man, adulting, seriously, like that sums it up. Sometimes you just got to do some stuff that you're like, you know, but it pays off. You know, it's the right thing. You can feel it in your bones that's what you're supposed to be doing. So does that ever, does that ever make you feel good? Like when you're like, okay, what atomic thing do I really need to be focused on right now? Is it sales calls? Is it emails? Is it, you know, like, and as you're doing it, like, do you feel good, or does it feel like it still sucks until like a week later when you see it pay off? Like, when do you get your dopamine fix, man, is what I'm trying to ask.
When I've done that thing that I have been avoiding or resisting. So, I just finished a book and I can't remember what it was, but I remember the quote, and somebody asked this writer, it's like, do you enjoy writing? And the writer says, no, I hate it, but I enjoy having written. Mm-hmm. And so I'll play mind games with myself, like delayed gratification or, you know, rewarding, like even if it's something like as simple as looking on the Facebook marketplace for used bike parts. Like I'll write that down on a post-it to manage my ADD, get out of my head. And it's like, okay, if you do something actually real, like productive and adult, when you finish that, you can go look at this. And so I know what I need to do. And I know that when I'm either afraid of it or avoiding it, it's like, just do it. And then that's, I seek the reward of having done it and looking at all those different facets of like, oh, I avoided it or I was afraid of it. And then just, it's a lot of mind games, honestly.
It is. We sometimes have, our brains are our own worst enemy. And I'm pretty sure that I've got ADD or ADHD or attention deficit, something going on, right? Because I often think about what I'm thinking about, which sounds really meta, but it seems like every decision I have to make, is this a drop, do, delegate, or defer? What am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And I have to balance that with, do I think I need to defer it when I actually need to do it? Because I'm afraid to do it. And da, da, da. And it's like, sometimes I just got to stop and tell myself, you get it. You get it. You probably had that talk in your own head. I mean, I know you get it, man. But it is freaking hard, you know. It's like, gotta make sure I'm focused on doing the right things every day, always execute. Oh man. I'm trying to think, what am I gonna do after this podcast? What am I avoiding? And then, you know, but I want to be thinking about this right now, so I gotta stay focused. Yay ADD for the win, man. Well, what do you wish someone had told you about entrepreneurship 5 years ago?
It is exactly like a relationship with another human being. There's going to be ups, downs. There's going to be joy. There's going to be despair. There's going to be challenges and unknowns. And it just feels a lot like a relationship. And that's, as I look back on some of the challenges and successes, and maybe it's almost like parenting to a lesser extent. There's definitely not the love and the reward that I get from being a dad, but some of those growing things that are in there, and I know those are intangibles to some extent, but that's kind of what it felt like. And just, you know, and you're going to experience ups and downs. It's just going to be like a relationship. Ride them out.
Yeah. I hear you there. It seems kind of weird. Like looking back, I never thought I would be emotionally entangled with an abstract idea like a company, right? But when you pour your effort and energy into something like that, man, it's hard not to be attached, isn't it? Oh my goodness. Like, I mean, I would always choose my family. Yeah. I mean, I would always choose my family over a company, even one that I'm making, but it's like, dang, why am I so upset about, you know, with this or whatever it is? And it's like, well, if you're entrepreneuring properly, I mean, it's going to make you upset. You're making a thing. You're creating something out of nothing. So I'm glad. I mean, that alone, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this podcast that we've talked about today, but that alone, I think is worth it. You know, knowing that I'm not crazy for thinking that, oh my goodness, you know, my company, huh? You know, I'm not the only one that thinks that way. There's at least two people, me and you, that feel that way. Probably, well, a few more too, I would imagine.
Yeah. You've got to have some passion for it, some emotional connection to it.
Yeah, you do. Otherwise, it just kind of feels detached and stuff. Well, I guess the final question I have would be, you know, if you had like a single piece of advice for people that were either just starting out their entrepreneurial journey, or if they've been on the road for a bit and you're like, oh, hey, by the way, don't be this guy. I learned this thing. Like, what would that piece of advice be? Do you have something in your back pocket? Okay.
Yeah. I've actually got five real quick bullet point ones that people can just write down. So the first one is ask for criticism, not for validation. If you're going to send out a prototype, and you have to ask people three times so they get it, so they don't feel like they're going to hurt your feelings.
Right.
The next one is work on systems, automation, and scaling all the time. Third is try to separate your identity from the product or the company, and then accept advice for now. So people will tell you what they think. So just kind of put it in your back pocket. And then last is keep asking around until you get the solution that fits your problem. Because you might get something that's close. Somebody might tell you no, but just keep asking and asking and asking. And then the solution is always out there. And so those are my five key takeaways just to write down and just ponder. Okay.
That's good advice. It's unfortunate that they all can't start with the letter A somehow. I was hoping it would be like A, B, C, D, E. But as I was listening that third one, I'm like, there's no A word in there. I can't do anything with that. I tried. But the rest of them, you can flip them around and have them start with A. So that's what my ADD brain does. But that is cool, man. That is cool. Can you do me a favor? Can you email me that? Because I want to print that out on an index card or something and stick it up by my desk.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I'm asking. You got it. I'm going to ask you twice more if I need to.
I will do that.
and I'm applying what I learned. Well, how do people find you, man? Because you're doing some cool stuff, and I want to see if I can direct some attention your way. So how would they reach out to you?
Thank you. Yeah, on the Instagram, at Warmfront, and then on the web, thewarmfront.com. Mm-hmm. And then my email is matt@thewarmfront.com. And please, it's an open invite for people to connect and offer suggestions or ask for advice or just have a conversation. So that's been the probably the biggest gift about this company and this product is the people that I've met and the conversations I've had and the relationships that I've built. So it's seriously, I wouldn't throw it out if I didn't want people to contact me. So feel free.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, with those 5 points too, I mean, I would imagine that people are gonna, hey, he said that we should ask. So here we are. So, but that's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate your time today.
Yeah.
I think you're doing some really cool stuff. And
thank you.
Colorado, anytime, man. Colorado is an area like the farthest west I've ever been. This is going to make me sound like a podunk, but Kansas is the farthest west I've ever been. I was on the almost made it, man. You're so just inches away on the map. It's just, oh, but it's one of those areas. It's like, I've never seen the Rocky Mountains and I want to. I've seen the Appalachians, but I've never been the other way, man. So, and I got some family out there too. I really should make time to like make it out there. So one of these
please,
days,
when you do, look me up. We'll go look at the mountains and get Hawaiian pizza and we'll have a good time.
Here we go, man. I'll probably have nosebleeds and nausea because the elevation. I'm up from St. Louis. I'm near sea level, man. Don't judge me. The air is too thin. So, well, awesome, man. Well, I will look forward to catching up with you a little bit later. And it's good chatting with you again, man. I think we're going to have some cool things to talk about in the coming weeks and months. All right.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.